Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of Ariel and Ade right here on the undisputed global home of boxing, DAZN. Hello everyone, I'm Ariel Helwani right here inside our New York City studio, our uncrowned studios. It's a beautiful day in New York, a little chilly, so I'm very happy to be indoors talking to my guy across the pond, the great Ade Oladipo. There he is. Yeah. The man with the biggest guns in the business. I saw you rocking those short sleeve guns on Monday at Portman Road. I saw you doing that. Not
I was
very
freezing.
Slick.
I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
No, I was freezing. I was clearly forcing it. It was a silly idea. It was cold. Although the sun was out, it was cold. It was chilly. And when you're next to Big Baby Miller, who has like 30-inch pythons, my 21-inch arms didn't really look good. So not a great idea. I should have learned my lesson not to wear short sleeves around heavyweights because it makes me look like a featherweight.
These are the sacrifices that we have to make when we have guns as big as yours, big guns, True. Ade. And yes, we shall be talking about Big Baby Miller. We shall be playing a portion of your very entertaining conversation with Big Baby Miller. He had a very busy Monday afternoon at Portman Road, the most excitement that we've seen at that venue all season long.
You know what? Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah.
You're so correct.
Yeah.
You are.
that's a English football
that's
joke.
So bad.
For the American viewers out there, okay?
Yeah.
Learn a thing or two about sports outside of North America. So he was poking fun at the Ipswich fans, all this stuff. We'll get into the Wardley-Miller back and forth. We shall also be joined by Liam Cameron, who was embroiled in a whole big schnozzle, as they say here. I don't know if they say schnozzle, schmazzle. I don't know what it is, but it was a whole thing with Ben Whitaker a few months back. They're going to be running it back in Birmingham in just a few weeks' time, April 20th to be exact, and there's some controversy, or as you say, controversy, regarding the amount of rounds for this particular fight. What is it? Is it 12? Is it 10? Is it 8? What is it? Have they settled?
It's silly. That's what it is. It's silly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. 8, 10, 12, it's silly. Like, can promoters and boxers just get this sorted, please? This is embarrassing. Like, what's going on? Contracts are being sent out. Look, we'll wait till Liam gets on the show so we can clear this thing up. But this is ridiculous. This is a high-profile main event fight. And here we are, a couple of weeks away from the fight, and we still don't know if it's 10 or 12 rounds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it's embarrassing.
So we'll get into all of that, plus a whole host of news, excuse me. But I got a big nose myself. Here's the thing, Ade. You had a very busy weekend. You were at the first Queensberry show on DAZN. It was high impact. Everyone was so excited. And what an intro. You and Uncle Frank there, in case you missed it, take a look at this.
Oh, God.
Hello and welcome to DAZN. I'm Frank Warren, and this is my show.
Frank. Apologies. Your show, but I don't know if you heard.
This is proper boxing.
No, but Frank, what they've said, I'm the face of DAZN. I don't know if they've told you. So
look at this.
Like, we've got to do this together.
Look at this.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I wasn't acting.
This is SNL level acting right here.
There you go. Let's go for a little walk, Frank.
Look at you
this
guys
is exciting,
walking
isn't it?
And okay, talking.
Very exciting. New era for Queensbury.
You know, I love a walk and talk.
New era for DAZN.
I don't know if Frank knows how much I love a walk and talk.
Shows lined up.
All right, enough of that. But what about this acting? I mean, this is something. Frank opening the show and then you coming in there. It was nice. It was, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a cold open, as they say in the business, on an old school episode of Monday Night Raw.
Okay. I don't mind that. I like that. Yeah, Frank is what, like the Vince McMahon? Is that what
cold open, like the show starts and it's, you know, someone in the back and the crowd is reacting and then they go to the signature that plays. That's what this reminded me of.
I liked it. I love it. It's funny because Carl Frampton was watching and obviously he's worked with Frank for I don't know how long on the previous broadcast of TNT for like 4 or 5 years. And he was surprised that Frank did it. He's like, Frank's never going to want to do that. So Frank's showing a different side of his personality, which was good. And I guess I'm the guy that brings out that personality with him.
Yeah, no, you do.
But no, Frank's a great guy. He took me for dinner, as you guys know.
Yeah, I know.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I kind of think I've told everyone.
I just didn't know that you went to shows outside of the matchroom bubble. It's good to see you at a Queensberry show. I was wondering, though, that was very nice and cordial and dare I say friendly. But later in the evening, I saw you talk to Daniel Dubois, and I couldn't help but notice you weren't What happened here with the young man? What happened here with the young man?
I didn't even see it.
What happened?
I didn't even see. You know, people started messaging me saying, how dare, you know, someone actually sent me a DM on Instagram saying, you are a disgrace. Like, you're the worst interviewer in the world. How dare you leave him hanging? I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I watched it and I felt sorry for him. I did. I didn't know what he was doing on the stage anyway. I was like, why are you on the stage? Why are you here?
And to be clear, who was that?
That was Daniel Dubois' younger brother.
Okay, yeah. They were debating in the back if it was his son, but it looks more like his brother.
No, younger brother. Yeah. Who's also a fighter. I think I say young. He looks about 7 or 8, but I think he's like 13 or 14.
You know what's my favorite part of that clip? Well. My favorite part of that clip is him looking down at the hand like, what am I supposed to do?
Can we see it again? I didn't see that.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Look at it. He's like,
did he look down at the hand?
What am I supposed to do with this?
Wait, one second.
Yo, what about Daniel Dubois styling and profiling with the glittery jacket?
What's going on. I was shocked. I mentioned it. I think it was his jacket.
Yeah.
And he had on these really expensive shoes, and everything threw me because I have to be honest. Sometimes I see Daniel Dubois in those suits, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? Or sometimes it's those tight leggings and a leather jacket. Yeah. So I was like, I didn't realize there was more attire to him. So I was like, what's this jacket? It looked expensive. He looked like he was in good spirits, which was important. And Frank literally got the whole of his heavyweight roster there. Like, everyone was there apart from Tyson Fury. So Frank wanted to start this event with a bang.
Heavy impact. And
I think Frank did well. I think he did well.
We're going to talk about that event. A few notable things happened, of course, in the main event. Joe Joyce losing to Filip Hrgović. He did a great job in the post-fight interview, I thought, asking him the tough questions. But let's talk about some news. No, before we, not quite yet, guys. Let's talk about some news. Let's go to Dmitry Bivol yesterday finding out that he is essentially no longer the WBC champ. His undisputed title reign lasted a mere 44 days, Ade. That's it. That's what's happening with these undisputed title fights. They're great in a nutshell, if you will, or in a vacuum, but then everyone wants a piece of the pie, and WBC ordered him to fight against David Benavidez, the interim champion. He said, thanks, but no thanks. And now it looks like he'll go after that Beterbiev trilogy. And just about an hour or so ago, ESPN Knockout posted a clip of Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of WBC, saying that, and this is interesting because he's not the promoter, saying that Bivol turned down $8 million to fight Benavidez, which I think is kind of like a shot, insinuating that he didn't want the fight when the reports were that he made 2.3-ish for the Beterbiev rematch. Anyway, we're not getting Benavidez Bivol. We are probably getting Bivol versus Beterbiev 3. What the hell is going on, and are you surprised that Bivol went this route?
Well, there's so many different ways to start this. I do want to start first with Mauricio Sulaiman talking about a fee for Dmitry Bivol. I've never, ever heard a head of a governing body or a sanctioning body do that before. As you say, is he turning role of promoter? I mean, Mauricio Sulaiman, you're head of the WBC, you're not a promoter. So I find it awkward and weird that he would even mention the numbers. That's not really his role to do. So that surprises me. And obviously, look, he's upset. I get it. He wants Dmitry Bivol to fight for his belt against Benavidez. It's a big fight for the WBC. But I think he's kind of stepped out of line by doing that. With regards to Bivol versus Benavidez or Bivol versus Beterbiev, I wasn't going to be mad either way it went. I would have liked to have seen Benavidez just because I've seen 24 rounds of Bivol Beterbiev. But I also would like to see a trilogy so I can really decide who is number one of this era. And I still feel like at one apiece, that's yet to be decided. So I'm not mad at a trilogy either. I don't like the idea of Benavidez being elevated to WBC light heavyweight champion. I get it. I know how it works, but I would almost prefer him to fight for a vacant belt. I think that's what he would want to do as well. But look, I can understand why Bivol's gone that route. There's two reasons. Number one, the trilogy. Obviously, that's first and foremost. But Turkey wants Bivol versus Beterbiev. And there probably is a bit of loyalty that he's shown to Turkey as well. Turkey made the first fight when no one really wanted to touch the first fight because there simply wasn't enough money in the first fight. No one wanted to put the fight on because she's going to make a hell of a loss, Turkey did. And then Turkey did the rematch. I think there's a bit of loyalty that Turkey wants to rematch. Sorry, the trilogy. Okay, we'll go down the route of what Turkey wants to do. So I kind of understand why Bivol has said, you know what? I've been undisputed. I ticked that box. You can take your belt.
Yeah, and I think Sulaiman, to your point, maybe has his I don't know, his feelings hurt a little bit because he did tweet just yesterday. And by the way, I do want to give a hat tip to veteran journalist Dan Raphael, who reported all of this first on Monday evening. I have just received a cold and impersonal notification from Dmitry Bivol's lawyer, Patrick English, with arguments that are so ridiculous that I'd rather not discuss, informing the WBC that Dmitry Bivol has decided to relinquish his WBC light heavyweight championship. We wish Bivol success and hereby confirm David Benavidez as the WBC world light heavyweight champion. A lot of people writing in the comments, email champion, things like that. Not great, but it seems like Benavidez is fine. He's moving on. He's happy to be the WBC champ. And perhaps we're moving towards a Benavidez-Calum Smith fight as a result?
Yeah, that's what makes sense, right? I mean, that's the kind of fight I'd like to see. I think those guys are, for me, number three and number four in the division. Calum Smith, as you know, coming off an incredible win against Joshua Buatsi when a lot of people wrote him off. A lot of people said that maybe the best Calum Smith was in years gone by. I think he rolled back the years to show that there's still a lot left. A very, very big light heavyweight. And I actually saw Benavidez ringside at that fight. And Benavidez isn't the biggest light heavyweight. I mean, he was a very big super middleweight, but all of a sudden you jump up one weight class and you're just normal sized. So Benavidez has given a bit of size away to Calum Smith. So maybe Calum Smith can take advantage of that. But I think that's a great fight. Calum Smith wants to become a world champion again. There you go. It's a big fight. It's a big money fight. It'll be a pay-per-view fight in America if it goes ahead. So I think that's the one you roll on with. And then maybe the winner of that, again, fights the winner of Bivol Beterbiev. So maybe you can almost look at it like two semifinals.
Here's what I'd like to say. I see some people, even in the chat right now, we're live on the DAZN Boxing YouTube channel, on the app as well, saying that Bivol ducked Benavidez. And look, on paper, you look at it, like on its surface, okay, he didn't take the fight. Come on. Dmitry Bivol ain't ducking anyone. I mean, he just fought this monster twice, pardon the pun. Like, come on, he's not ducking anyone. I think it is actually what you said. I think he has some sort of loyalty and kinship towards Turkey, who made these fights, who got him big paydays, who made the rematch after he was maybe screwed in the first fight. And so he's going that direction, and there's nothing wrong with that. As a fan, I'm way more interested in Benavidez Bivol. I'm way more interested in seeing that fight because it's fresh. We just saw these guys compete in 24 straight rounds in the span of 4 months. Like, it wasn't like we had to wait a long time for the rematch. So as a fan, I'm a little bit disappointed, but I'm not going to listen to any Bivol duck Benavidez nonsense.
That's nonsense. Enough. I mean, that's ridiculous.
This is the creme de la creme.
Yeah, you don't run to Beterbiev if you're ducking Benavidez. And this is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. And look, I get it. Benavidez fans are upset because they want to see Benavidez get in the mix, as do we.
As do we.
Right? I think, Benavidez was there ringside. He wanted to get in the mix as well. We all want to see him in the mix. But ultimately, if it's one apiece, look, if Beterbiev was 35, then I know for a fact that they would say, okay, Beterbiev, you maybe sit this out. Let Benavidez and Bivol handle the business, and maybe we see a trilogy later on down the line. The fact is, he's 40. But you can't keep waiting. So you've got to do it straight away if you want to see it. And I think a lot of the boxing fans want to see it. I mean, I do think that Bivol will beat Beterbiev, and I think Bivol will fight Benavidez. So a bit of patience. Benavidez will get his chance. Bivol will get his chance against Benavidez, and we'll see who's ducking who.
I'd love to know when these two fights are going to happen if they go this route. Because I agree with you. Hopefully this is a four-man tournament. And hopefully maybe, I don't know, maybe end of the year is wishful thinking. First quarter of 26, the winners face off. I would imagine Bivol and Beterbiev are going to take a little bit of time off. Benavidez seems kind of revved and ready to go, wanting to get back in there. Also, Smith just fought not that long ago. I'm guessing they fight maybe back into this year, and we hopefully get to see them in 2026, the winners face off. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm curious to see how all this plays out with Suleiman taking these shots at Bivol. And again, who knows what's going on, because there's this WBC tournament happening in Riyadh.
It's crazy.
But there is some contention regarding the belts and all this stuff. Is this a part of it? Remember, Turkey, not that long ago, saying he wasn't interested in the trilogy anymore. Good luck to you, Dmitry Bivol. It's like, as the world turns here in the sport of boxing, a lot of drama,
honestly,
all the time. Speaking of which, Ade, it seemed like Oscar De La Hoya, the great Oscar De La Hoya, little match and just threw it into the Zepeda-Shakur talks and just said, deal with all of this. This is back on April 5th, just 3 days ago. After all the S-talking, Shakur Stevenson pulls out of the Zepeda fight. And everyone's like, what? Because it just kind of came out of nowhere, right? Shakur then responds shortly thereafter and says, is that what they told you? Turkey promised me a number, and now he going way back on that number that he promised me and sending his towel boys to run me the info instead of telling me straight up what he trying to do. Not sure. Bow down.
Yeah.
I don't bow down. I don't. Do you want to read? I don't bow down to nobody, Mr. De La Hoya. Now let's negotiate. Crazy thing is, on my soul, I would cook dude so badly. He's a mismatch. I want this fight so bad that these dudes want to take advantage of me by giving me way less than I got for Padley just because they know how bad I want it. He continued. Oh, yeah. And I'm not done negotiating because one thing about it, I'm the champ, so whether the fight gets done with these people or not, I'm stepping on dude, but the fight will be made next. The fight is ordered by WBC, true. I'm still the champion and aren't pulling out of anything. If we can't reach a deal, then purse bids it is. See you soon.
Mm.
What do you think happens here?
No, they fight. Yeah. They fight 100%. And then look, they were supposed to fight. It was all set, right? Zepeda was supposed to beat Tevin Farmer first time round. And he did, but it wasn't the best performance. Hence why they kind of ran it back to see if it was just a little blip. And it kind of wasn't a blip because it wasn't the best performance the second time around. So Shakur's been waiting for Zepeda for a while. I love the matchup. I think it's a good stylistic matchup. I will favor Shakur Stevenson every single day of the week, having seen 24 rounds or so with Tevin Farmer against Zepeda. So I kind of know where Zepeda is when it's that kind of style of fighter in front of him. I do wish, look, I love when fighters are vocal, but I almost do wish that Shakur would have maybe had a few of those conversations behind closed doors. I do think that's quite important for him and his career, but I like it. He's trying to show us as fans who don't have that insight, what's going on? Why am I going to be ducking Zepeda? I just want the money I was promised. That's fair, right? So let's see what happens. I think it probably will go to purse bids, and then it'll be Matchroom versus Golden Boy, and we'll see what happens there. We'll see how much Matchroom really have invested into Shakur Stevens. We'll see how much Golden Boy really have faith in Zepeda. Plus, we know Oscar and Eddie don't really get on, so I know both of them are going to try and one-up each other when it comes to the purse bids. So I think it's intriguing, and I think it's a big fight for American boxing fans, and I think it happens around the October time. I think we're going to have a big fight then.
I would love to see that fight in New Jersey. He comes back, Shakur does, in his home state, in Newark, and this is a big-time fight. And there's some juice there, and there's some buzz, and there's some hype. Some of the fights that he had recently in New Jersey didn't quite have that, and his performance would back that up as well. I do wonder if in fact, what he is saying is true, which is, you know, the offer wasn't what I expected or anything like that. Is that a result of his stock just lowering? He did get the win over Padley, but let's be honest, I think a lot of people wanted to see him dispose of Padley a lot sooner because Padley took the fight on 4 or 5 days notice. Yes, he got the stoppage. That was imperative, but I still think people aren't quite back on the bandwagon, so to speak. And so I think
that's for both.
For both him and Zepeda.
I think the stock has fallen for both, sorry. I think Zepeda came into the first Latino night, which I covered, and the buzz around him was incredible. Like everyone was saying, this is the guy, right? This is the best fighter out there that hasn't got a world title. And that's dropped. And then after the most recent performance, again, he didn't really light up Tevin Farmer. It's dropped again. So if I'm Turkey, initially when I first offered Shakur the fight was massive. It was like, okay, this is a huge fight. All of a sudden, it's dropped for Shakur because of that performance against Padley. And it's dropped for Zepeda because of those two performances against Tevin Farmer. It's not a big money fight like we all thought it was going to be. It's still a big fight, but I don't even put it on the same level in terms of size as Shakur versus Oscar Valdez. It's dropped a lot. So I think that's the issue. So look, you can't pay for something that you don't think is worth it. But ultimately, if you've offered the money, you've offered the money. So herein lies the problem.
But you think ultimately they do fight?
Ultimately, they fight. I think ultimately both of them take a hit in their pay packet.
Yeah.
And they just get it on. They get it on and the winner goes on to do crazy things. Zepeda wants a world title crack and Shakur Stevenson wants a big name. Both of them get their wish.
They are a good match for each other right now because they both are in desperate need of a high-profile victory and just like a sterling performance to get everyone back on. Yeah. You know, on track with them, in their good graces, things of that nature. So let's see how this plays out. I want to go back to this past weekend now, and let us talk about the Joe Joyce loss to Filip Hrgović. You know, there was a lot at stake here for Joyce. There was a lot at stake here for Hrgović. Both guys needed a win, and I think a lot of the talk, of course, over in the UK was, all right, what's going to happen to Joe Joyce if he loses. 39, he's taken some bad losses not that long ago. People were saying he was the next big thing at heavyweight. Five or so years ago, he beats Dubois. Look at the difference between the two of them now. In the end, he loses the fight. And at times, it was a rock'em sock'em robot type of fight. It was a slugfest, but it was a little bit sloppy, if I do say so myself. But a fun sort of, you know, entertaining affair, if you will. You were there. You saw it. I think the right man won, obviously. What did you make of what Joe Joyce did on Saturday night?
You know, the crazy thing, it wasn't that bad a performance, considering Joe's last performance against Derek Chisora, which I actually felt Joe looked a bit better here. And maybe it was because back's against the wall, right? You have to win. It's now 4 defeats in 5, as you mentioned, where, you know, before that, he was just this, again, nicknamed the Juggernaut. He literally was that. He was a guy that just couldn't be stopped. They were talking about him versus Wilder, him versus Usyk. He ran through Joseph Parker, who's now, what, the third best heavyweight in the world. So it almost felt like a backs against the wall performance, but ultimately it wasn't enough. It was a do or die thing. You win, you go on, you lose. I think you press the pause button and have serious conversations about where Joe is. Joe takes far too much punishment. It's that simple, Ariel. And not just in his losses, in his wins. I've been ringside watching Joe win fights and he's taken a severe amount of punishment. And I'm like, how is he taking that punishment? And I feel like, and this is just my own personal opinion, I feel like I'm seeing the effects of it. And I don't want to see that, because I care about these fighters. I interview these fighters a lot. I speak to them sometimes on a daily basis. And if I can see the effects of it now as you're still fighting, I don't even want to think of what's it going to be like in 10 or 15 years. Boxing has a duty of care to take care of its boxers. And I feel like everyone around Joe Joyce needs to have an honest conversation with him. Like, Joe, you get hit too much by guys that are 250 pounds. Like, this is not good for your health. And look, when you're winning, okay, we can make an excuse and say, look, he's winning. Let him continue. You're now losing. I think fight fans don't really see it because he's not getting knocked out and splattered all over the floor, right? He's on his feet all the time. But this guy is taking way too much punishment and he can only see a bad ending. And I don't want to see that bad ending. He's had a good career, Olympic silver medalist. He would have made some good money. Enough's enough. And I think Frank Warren and family and friends need to have a real conversation with him before this gets really bad.
My impression in the post-fight interview with you was that he has no interest in stopping.
No.
He was happy with the performance for the most part, wanted the win, but is sort of like, I don't want to say he's dumbfounded by any of the talk surrounding him that he should stop.
No, that is the word. No, Ariel, that's the word.
Yeah.
You're correct. I've watched his interviews. I've seen a few after.
He's like, what are you talking
almost,
about?
Yeah, he's almost surprised. Like, even when I interviewed him, I could see the look in his eye like, what? Like, almost like, why are you asking me this question? And I'm like, how can he not see it? Like, are people around him not having these conversations with him?
Did you get stick for this, by the way? Did you get stick? Because I saw you kind of defending yourself. And I think that was the question to ask. If you are going to interview Joe Joyce in that moment after a loss, technically, he wasn't the story anymore. Filip Hrgović, the story, coming back and winning and getting back on track. If you're talking to Joe, it's A, what happened? And B, are you going to continue? That's it. Those are the two questions.
That's it.
Anything else, you're not doing your job. Did you get crap for this?
I did. I got a bit of heat on social media. Yeah, I did. Like, what's that they doing?
Of course you asked that question.
Leave him be. How dare you ask that? I got quite a lot of heat for it. Hence why I kind of put a social media post saying, look, it's a difficult question. I get it, right? You're asking someone to leave all they know, right? And I get that. It's tough. But again, it's 4 defeats in his last 5. Filip Hrgović wasn't great on the night. This wasn't like he was in there with sort of prime Alexander Usyk. I think Filip Hrgović looked really sloppy as well. And it just isn't there. He was falling over his feet. His feet looked really slow. Like, I was seeing a lot of different things. It wasn't just the fact that he was getting hit with sort of rights and lefts. It was a few different worrying signs for me. And again, I think everyone needs to take a close look at it, because when a fighter like that has that kind of reaction to people saying he should retire, they're the ones that scare me the most. I find it quite scary.
Yeah. The bad news is, if we want to categorize it as such, is that I don't think he is going to stop. And he's obviously not the only fighter, certainly not in the heavyweight division, who will continue long after people said he should stop. And that's worrsome. That's 100% worrsome. And there have been some interviews out there where it seemed like he wasn't 100% there, and he's taken a lot of shots to the head. So I agree with you. Better performance than the Chisora loss. obviously didn't get knocked out, took a lot of shots, hung in there against a top 10 heavyweight. But I hope at least he takes maybe a year off. If he is going to continue, and by the way, next year he's 40, right? Like he's not that far away from being in his 40s. I hope he does take a year off, and I hope he considers his health. He's been doing this for a very long time. There was some major controversy once again in the co-main event, or was it the chief support? I'm not sure. One or the other. The David Adelaide win was somewhat marred by controversy, right? What the hell? Yeah. Let's take a look at this. Here's Jamie TKV. And by the way, I love this right here. This was great.
This is a bit of Leon Edwards, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Headshot bang. Okay, you know what? Can we replay this real quick? If you guys don't mind in the back. No, I just want it. I want to play it with some sound if we can, because it's important in that moment right there to hear the referee tell them to break, because this is the controversy right here. So you guys let me know. Here it is. Take a listen. Boom!
So there's two things there that are very important. The first thing is the break, right? He says break, and he doesn't even get in between the fighters and kind of push them away from each other, which you kind of got to do. You can't just say break and expect fighters not to hit on the break. Mm-hmm. But one thing that he does, which is the big mistake, he pulls TKV's arm down.
Yeah.
So he's almost defenseless. He pulls his arm down. Someone that he's
you can't,
so he's basically
that.
Got one hand there.
Yeah,
it's honestly a disgraceful sort of piece of refereeing by an experienced ref. And after, it's funny because after the fight, well, it's not funny because a guy got hurt, but after the fight, sort of the team of TKV is screaming at him saying that you said break, and he kind of says, "No, I didn't." I'm like, "Are you crazy? Yes, you did. Yes, you did." And then I think he can see everyone watching the monitors, and they're obviously watching the replay, and then you can see the red mist just getting bigger and bigger from TKV's team, because they've now seen the replay as opposed to what they thought they heard. And it now got clarification that they did hear what they thought they heard, and then all hell broke loose. So, a disgraceful piece of refereeing.
And so what do you think happens here? Because this isn't the first time, especially in the last couple of months, that the British Boxing Board of Control has had to look at some questionable refereeing, right? We remember the Crocker-Donovan fight. That was somewhat questionable. This worse, in my opinion. I mean, that is very clear. That's why I wanted them to blast the sound. He says break. He touches the glove. This is Ron Kearney, by the way, a veteran referee. I mean, they've got to run it back. I've seen TKV do some interviews over the last 24, 48 hours. That, to me, needs to happen. But then I also feel like, and this goes back to what you guys were talking about on that night in Northern Ireland, like there needs to be some accountability for these refs. Like, what happens? What's the explanation? Give us an interview. Give us a statement. Are you going to be sidelined? Are you fined? You know, Chris Eubank is getting fined £100,000 for slapping his opponent with egg. What happens to the referees when you just potentially led to a knockout happening? Like, this guy's brains got scrambled, TKV's, because of that. There has to be some kind of accountability.
I completely agree. Then that's the important thing. It isn't just the loss. The loss is big enough, right? Because, again, that's a bad reflection on TKV, who, by the way, was winning the fight. Let's get that point across as well. Up until that point, he was ahead on the scorecards by everyone ringside, so he was winning it. It wasn't a great fight, but he was winning. But you let him get hit. He got hit by a puncher, a free hit that happened on your watch. So there needs to be some accountability. You need to come out, release a statement. You maybe need to get suspended for the next couple of fights. And this is not me saying he's not he's a bad referee. He's actually a good one. He's one of the good referees. But ultimately, you've made a big mistake in a big title fight, co-main event of a big title card. Something needs to happen. You need to be reprimanded in a way. And I don't think he will be. As for the fight, I think it's going to be turned into a no contest, and they're going to run it back again. And I don't really want to see it again, because it was actually a boring fight.
Okay, really? But I mean, you kind of have to, right? Just out of fairness?
I'd rather you just do a no contest and both fighters move on in separate directions. Wow. That's what I would like to happen.
Maybe not if you're representing TKV, though, right?
No, if you're representing TKV, you want your British title fight.
Right.
And I saw David Adelaide post on his Instagram that he's willing to give TKV a rematch. So it's likely that this rematch will happen on the undercard of Fabio Wardley versus Jarrell Miller. I can see it happening then. That gives both enough time to get into camp, and why not fight on a big fight card in Ipswich?
Okay. Well, Ade, let's stick with the controversy theme. That is our theme the evening.
We have more.
And let us move along now and say hello to our guest this evening. He is Liam Cameron. He is fighting on April 20th in Birmingham against Ben Whitaker. And we saw them compete against each other in October. And that was a whole bunch of controversy.
That was crazy.
To put it mildly. First off, Liam, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you on. And first things first, I feel kind of silly asking you this question, Liam, but you know, here we are some 12 days out from the fight. Can you tell us how many rounds this fight will be? What's going on here? Is it 12? Is it 10? Is it 8? Is it 6? What's happening?
Well, in my knowledge, it's a 12-rounder, so I don't know no different from that.
Okay, can you, for those that may not be familiar, what happened? You were sent a contract and it stated 12, but now they're trying to change it. The promoter, boxer, is trying to change it to 10?
Yeah, so it's an odd one to talk about because I don't want to get myself into trouble, but...
You did nothing wrong.
Yeah, so what happened is we signed for a 12-round contract, so when I were signing it, I thought, this is a bit strange. You were tired after 5, the last one. So... this is a 12, it don't make sense. Then obviously a week later, it happened, like saying, can we do 10? There's been a mishap, whatever's happened. And will Liam do a 10 now? And we've been saying no.
Good. I think you're right to say no. If a contract has come and that contract says 12, and you think 12 is to your advantage, I think you should stick to 12. And ultimately, whoever's made that mistake should pay up. If Liam agrees to go down to 10, it's like, okay, I'll go down to 10, but I want a couple of more zeros on the end of my check in order to go down to 10. So I think Liam and yourself and your team should kind of stay firm with this one. Let's go back, Liam, to the first fight, if we can. Was you surprised by Ben's performance in the first fight, or did you and your team sort of know that this was kind of going to unravel for him a little bit?
Do you know what it is? I back myself now because I've got confidence in myself. It can't be every time that people are having bad performances, they've took me lightly. It was same with the previous one before Ben. He took me lightly. I was there to get beat both times, stopped and looked good against, but I've been boxing years. I've done everything as an amateur apart from Olympic Games. I were on the GB podium and I turned it down and went pro. I've got pedigree. I am a good fighter. I am. It's been proven now. I just don't like the fact that people saying, oh, we're enough now. That was Ben's time to look good in Saudi. He had a fight penciled in December, headline in America. There's no way he took me lightly. There's no way. He weren't showboating or anything. That's all excuses.
What's it been like for you now, Liam? Since then, up until now, we're a couple of weeks out. Obviously, it's been way more interviews. You've been doing the press run. People know who you are now. They knew who you were before, but they know who you are now properly. What's life like? Has it changed a lot? Is it any different now for you?
No, it's quite boring, to be fair. Just do the same stuff. I don't really do much. And I often knew this fight was going to happen, so I had 2 weeks off gym. Didn't go on holiday, just spent time at home like I normally do. And I've been straight back into the gym. I've had a long camp, and I'm in great shape. And I know boxers say it, but this has been the best I've ever trained in my life. And I've got so much confidence in my own ability now.
If you don't mind, and perhaps to jog people's memories, I'd love to watch that finishing sequence with you real quick. And you tell us what you're thinking in this moment. Here it is from back in October in Riyadh, you versus Ben Whitaker. What's going on here from your perspective, Liam?
I think in that last 30 seconds, I was putting some fist in. And I could remember, I'm more of a older back person in thoughts, but I can remember thinking, I'm going to start, he's unraveling, I'm going to stop him. So I put gas on a bit and hit him with some body shots. and it fell off balance and it were falling into me. Then it were hitting me low, it were holding a lot, it was spitting his gum shield out, and it just happened so fast. He pinned me on ropes in first round, putting his hand out on my head and pinning me to ropes, but I didn't go up ropes. It's very rare you'll see fighters go over ropes. That's why it's big headlines and stuff. So it's an hard one, isn't it? We all know what happened.
Do you think he was faking? You think he was looking for a way out? Are you settled on that?
It's like when you're having an hard spar sometimes, it's horrible, isn't it? And you're tired, and that's what it was like for Ben. He didn't want no part. His emotions got to him. He was looking all over it. I study body language and stuff. I watched everything at that fight, and he was like a rabbit in headlights, even in corner. He got shock of his life.
Is Ben Whitaker overhyped in your opinion?
Do you know what? He was a great amateur, really good. I never watched him because I was banned. I fell out with boxing. But how long ago was that? Was that 4 years ago, them Olympics?
Yes.
Form is gone now. That form has gone. That was 4 years ago, fighting at an elite level. He's had shoulder injuries. He's not boxed the best people. What's he done in them 4 years of boxing professional?
It's interesting. Andy Lee, now his trainer. What do you make of that link up?
It doesn't matter to me. If everyone thought they were going to be a world champion and train with Andy Lee, there'd be a few of fighters lining up to train with him. That's no offence to Andy. I respect him as a fighter, a coach. A trainer is great to have, but realistically, he's just doing it because of Ben's name and stuff. He won't take no one in off the street from scratch.
Are you expecting a different Ben Whitaker this time round, or same from what you saw? Because what a lot of people did say about the first fight is that we didn't see the kind of usual showboat, and that could be down to you, Liam, not allowing him to showboat. But are you expecting him to kind of do a bit more of that this time round?
He's going to try everything, I think. But I'm not really bothered what he does. He's going to try everything, isn't he? This is his career online now. So he's going to try a bit of everything. There's no way out this time.
You know, everyone talks about Ben Whitaker, future world champion. He's always linked to big names. That must be your ambition now as well, Liam. I know you fell out of love with the sport, hence why you were away from it for a few years. But now you're back and you're in the limelight and your main event and your headlining. You must have like high ambitions as well now again, no?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's one fight at a time. This is how much I want to win this fight. If I could just win one more in my life and lose every single one of them, it'd be this one.
And why is that? Wow. Why do you feel so strongly about this one? That's an incredibly powerful statement.
Because this is life-changing for me. This is mega, mega stardom for me in my own head, or back to slogging it out again. This is everything for me. This is, in a way, life or death in boxing.
Funny to ask this, because that sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, but I'm wondering if you
No,
also...
there's no pressure. Because
you're playing with house's money, right? He has all the pressure, does he not?
Yeah, he has unbelievable pressure. If I'm feeling any pressure, he's got it 10 times worse, but I'm just saying for, like, future, and I've never earned anything out of boxing, like, before I come back. So this is everything. I'm seeing what can happen now, and I'm excited.
I wouldn't ever ask a fighter what they're making, so don't say a number. But is this getting close to life changing money? Is this a really good payday for you?
It depends who the person you ask. For me, it's mega, unbelievable. Yeah. It's like, wow. But to like someone who's been there and done it and got the money and stuff, it's probably nothing. But to me, this is everything. I couldn't wish for a better comeback in my life. It's And I just thank everyone who's got behind me. It touches me in a warmful way.
Does this change your love for the sport now, Liam? Obviously, again, look, we know the backstory, but does this now change your love for the sport, knowing that finally my name's out there, finally I'm getting the big fights, but I guess most importantly, finally I'm getting paid correctly?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's, I can't believe I've actually done it. This fight's happening because of me.
Yeah.
Everything's happening because of me. I were there on paper to get beat, but sometimes there's just a bigger heart inside you what gets you through these moments. And my desires, if there were a world title for desire, I know I'd have won one.
Wow. Incredible stuff, Liam. I'm really enjoying everything that you're bringing to the table, and I'm wondering what you're expecting to see from Ben, because I do understand that fight week, you weren't feeling very good vibes from him. That you didn't feel like they were treating you with respect and kind of like looking at you as the opponent who was just there to get beat. Do you think it will be different this time around?
Yeah, I would just like a piece of dog. I'm not going to say it, but dog shy. But no cameras were on me when Ben walked in. It were all about him. He were shopping with Rolexes and stuff like that. And I thought to myself in Saudi, I wonder what it's like to be like them, with cameras on him and everyone making a fuss. I sat on myself in back, mate. No one cared about me. But now the table's turned. It's the Liam Cameron train. Uh-huh. I can't thank everyone. Do you know what? I keep saying it really means a lot to me. You see comments, it's crazy what's happened.
Well, I have to say, I enjoy Ben a lot. I think he's a showman. His entrances are fun. His style, I know, is polarizing, but he is must-see TV. Do you think he is now going to be a different fighter in the sense that perhaps this humbled him? Perhaps this will make him more reserved? He doesn't want to go through this again. And so do you think his style will completely change as a result of what happened last year?
I think you are who you are, aren't you? You can't pretend and be fake because you get fun out, don't you? Like I say in amateur boxing, when the going gets tough, it's three-minute rounds. You're not really going into that art and gas tank. When that happens in pros, the fight's only just started. There's no way out. So I think that's the difference. When it gets hard, I know on paper and on myself and my art, I know I'll carry on till I can't throw another punch. That is me.
Last fight, Liam, was kind of neutral ground, right? Saudi Arabia, you know, not home for both of you. This time you go to his backyard, right? His area where he was brought up, where he was born. Any reservations? Was there any talk about making this in, again, another neutral venue? Or was this a case of you had to go to Birmingham?
It's my dream to go into his backyard, and I don't think I'll get booed. I've sold loads of tickets. I think the crowd will be for me. But what a nice cherry on top will it be to beat him in his own backyard. Be amazing to look back on.
And you've had quite the journey in the sport. Has this all exceeded your own expectations? I mean, there's probably been some days where the idea of headlining a show like this in Birmingham on a big stage, on a big platform, probably felt very, very far away.
Yeah, and it's all good and excitement, but like, I don't feel no emotion to it. It could be first fight or it could be last fight for me. The biggest achievement is being the people's champion, like I keep saying. That's massive for me. That's more than any. Listen, you see people with belts and they ain't got the support I've got.
Love it.
Or probably getting the recognition and money, what I'm going to get. And that's quite mad to say.
To put a bow on all of this, because I know it's getting late over there, is it going to be 10 rounds? How do you think this ends up?
Well, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. I ain't got a clue.
All right. What about prediction?
Prediction. Simon Jordan didn't like this, but my best will be good enough. I'm not going to be like other boxers and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be world champion. I'm going to do my best, and that is everything, what will be.
Well, I love that. Well done. And well done on seizing the moment here. You've done a fantastic job, and you're right. You were supposed to be the opponent, and you flipped the script on them. So kudos to you, my friend, and good luck on April 20th. Can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Thank you.
All the best. There he is, Liam Cameron. It goes down in 12 days' time. I love that guy. He's amazing. Oh,
he's fantastic, isn't he? They're both great for each other. You've got one that is flash, showboaty, and you got Liam, who looks like he was taking that call lying down.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah,
I
mean, he probably was. He's so laid back. And it's just like, but again, his story, and people need to understand the story, his story of being out of the sport, falling out of love with the sport completely, going the wrong way, he would admit that as well. And to have this career arc where he now is headlining, he's making, as you say, I think he said it, right? Life-changing money, yep. Great money. I mean, that's what boxing's about. That's how quick boxing can change if you get it right on one night. And he got it right in Saudi, and now he looks to get it right again.
There have been a few instances over time where someone was clearly set up to be the opponent. And like I said, the script gets flipped. You know, there's obviously been the Buster Douglases of the world and the Haseem Rahmans of the world. Those were on big stages. But you'll see this as someone's coming up and all of a sudden they'll slip on the banana peel. I can't wait to see how Ben is received. Home game for him. It felt like because he was so, I hate the word cocky, confident, sure of himself, showman, the hot dogging, all that stuff. It felt like everyone was waiting for him to slip and fall, right? I see this guy is not who he thinks he is. But here's a home game for him. He's not fighting somewhere else. He is fighting in his backyard, essentially. Will they try to prop him up? Because that's how you Brits do it. You like to build people up and then knock them down. Well, now that he's down, will you build him back up? Because I think he's a stud, and I think he's someone. I remember when I was in London last summer with my family, we're in the underground. He's on massive billboards, Adidas billboards, right? Like, I was like, wow, Ben Whitaker, this guy's a mainstream superstar. I'm very curious to see how he responds to all of this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ben knew the risk-reward of the way in which he sells himself. If you talk the way Ben talks, if you suffer a defeat, and it wasn't a defeat, I think people need to realize that, but it's a defeat in his head. If you suffer that, people are going to attack you. It's just the way it is, unfortunately, over here. I think Ben's a superstar, and I think it was a blip, and I think Ben's going to prove just how good he is and how good he should have been on that night. I think Andy Lee's a great addition to the team, and I think Ben, I don't know, maybe he was overlooking Liam. I think a lot of us were overlooking Liam. A lot of us were already talking about Ben's next opponents. And I think maybe he kind of had that thought in his head. And, you know, once you get in the ring, it's difficult to kind of switch it on and off. And Liam was fantastic. So look, it's going to be a tough night's work, but I think we will see the superstar that everyone expects when they get it on. But it's not going to be easy. And it shouldn't be easy. You should have tough fights coming up. Everyone complains about sort of prospects having easy fights all the way through until they're like 20-0. It's a tough fight now. Let's see what you got, Ben. And I think he's going to show that he's got a lot.
I'm jealous of you guys over in the UK. You've got this fight coming up on the 20th. You obviously have the big show on the 26th. June 7th, we just found out, Portman Road, Ipswich Town, Monday over there to kick it all off. Fabio Wardley against Big Baby Jarrell Miller. And by the way, for the interim vacant WBA heavyweight title, how could there be a vacant interim belt? It's either interim or it's not. There's either a champion. What are we talking about here? The vacant interim belt? What is that?
I forgot. You know, those kind of things I just forget about.
Golly.
I just say Fabio Wardley versus Jarrell Miller. And those extra editions of golden level or golden rubber kind of just get put to the side for me. I don't necessarily care about the belt. I care about the fight. Because I think the people at home don't necessarily care about the belt. We know who the champions are. We know who the champion is. His name's Alexander Usyk, and until he vacates, all those regular and interim whatever belts don't really mean
it
much to me.
It actually annoys me to the point where it like almost devalues the fight, because it just seems like they think that the fight itself doesn't sell itself and you need to attach some kind of nonsense belt to it. Regardless, Wardley's been on a roll, and I saw some fans react to the announcement of this fight when news started to come out last week that Miller doesn't deserve this, that he's done nothing to deserve this, that he's a guy who popped hot and all this stuff. And while he can sell a fight And while he, you know, likes to talk about his resume, he doesn't deserve an opportunity, a fight in a football stadium, 30,000 or so people, a fight of this nature, a fight of this stature. Do you agree with them?
Yeah, look, they've got a point. Let's not shy away from that conversation. They've definitely got a point. And this is a guy that, to his own admission, I mean, was cheating in the lead up to his fight with AJ and got popped, got caught. But there's also an argument where, you know, we're not the judge and jury. There's a team that does that. And he did a crime and he's done his time. He's done his time and now he's back. Unless boxing is going to issue lifetime bans, who are we to kind of say these guys or girls shouldn't be getting these fights? And boxing has its own issue with that. But look, as I say, he's done his time and now he's back. And he's not just walked, you know, out of this test or out of that ban straight into a Wardley fight. He's had good fights in between to get this fight. The Daniel Dubois performance was a good one, maybe a better one in hindsight, considering what Daniel Dubois done. And I thought he beat Andy Ruiz. So I think if you remove what he did a few years ago, I think he's certainly worthy of this fight. But with regards to him not being worthy because of a past drugs scandal or drugs cheat, then again, who are we to judge?
Well, if you're wondering why they picked Big Baby Miller, it's because he sells fights very, very well. And that was on display yesterday at the press conference. In the midst of the press conference, they went toe-to-toe, the back and forth. They didn't need Dev there. They didn't need Frank there. They didn't need you there. The two of them together were actually magic, although I'm still unclear as to what the crux of the issue was, because it seemed like Big Baby Miller was upset about some kind of diss track that was released about him, which Fabio Wardley says he knows nothing about. And quite frankly, I believe him. Anyway, here's the interaction between the two of them.
What are you doing?
I fought a guy 7-0. Who the fuck you fighting for our fights? Motherfucker, that was 1-25.
I thought you did your homework.
Man, suck my dick.
I thought you did take the lag.
Look at my finger, bro.
I'm here.
I always wanted to say this. We apologize for the bad language. he took a
shot
to the face.
That's my job.
I know. I'm sorry. That was intense stuff.
Dude. Like, Miller is intimidating. Like, Fabio Wardley is 6'5", 17 stone, and he makes Fabio Wardley look like a couple of weight classes below. Like, the security guards, finally the security guards had to work for their money, because those were big boys holding him back. Like, he wanted to go, and obviously, look, he was upset about this diss track. And I know what he's referring to, because I remember when Fabio was on stage with me and Dillian White at the Joyce Hergovich fight, and I did hear it. I remember saying to Fabio, can you hear that? So I could hear the song he's talking about. I didn't hear the wording, but I could hear Fabio's song being played out. So obviously...
Is it about Big Baby?
Yeah, it is. 100%.
Oh, so there is a diss track?
There is. Oh, yeah, fact. Yeah, I heard
it. So why was Fabio pretending like he didn't know about it?
Because I don't know. I don't think Fabio does know. I think someone's made it.
Oh, but it's on him. It's on him rapping on it.
No, it's not him rapping. It's just words. Someone's made it.
And they played it at the event.
They played it at the event. When Fabio walked on to the stage with me, with Dillian White, I heard it being played out. And I was like, it kind of stopped me in my track. I was asking him questions. I was like, 1 second, do you have a song? And that was the song.
Wow, that is
so
bizarre.
So this song does exist. It is very bizarre. It's bizarre. And Jarrell Miller was kind of, honestly, I thought he was just selling the fight. But speaking to him after, he was genuinely angry. He's like, where I'm coming from, diss tracks mean so and so and forth.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. Is this true? You know, you're based in New York.
Well,
is this the thing?
Hit him up. We just had a guy come out with a diss track and make it all the way to the Super Bowl as a result. So diss tracks could take you far. They could also cause a lot of trouble. You were supposed to do a face-to-face with the two of them. Wardley didn't show up, right?
Yeah, Wardy didn't show up. Jarrell Miller was
this
there.
This is becoming a theme for you, right? When one guy doesn't show up.
I don't know what's going on. I was very disappointed. I was ready. I had all my questions prepped. I was ready. I will say this to defend Wardy. Wardy 100% wanted to do it.
Oh.
It was his team that were like, no. But Wardy's like, no. Wardy was insisting on doing it.
No, that's
not. He was like, 1 second, why not? I'm like, why are they doing this? Like, this could sell it. This could break the internet. After what happened at the presser, everyone wants to see these guys go face to face. It's just stupid. I was so annoyed by it. But yeah, we didn't do so. We just did like a little separate sit down interview with Big Baby, who kind of let loose on Fabio, which was interesting.
Well, speaking of which, let's take a look at said conversation.
Do you enjoy this stuff? Some people enjoy the face off because it's a way to get under the opponent's skin, maybe play some mind games.
You know, I think it's cool. But I feel like even with the last two people I did it with, you know, with DuBois and Andy, those were hard to even sell. It was more like we're cracking jokes.
Cracking joke. I did the Andy one. Yeah,
it was cracking jokes, right? It was fun to do. Unfortunately, the real sport of boxing was to the death. It's a warrior sport, you know. The first man exhausts and dies, and then the mafia run it for years. So they put this fake persona on boxing like it's a gentleman sport. It's not a gentleman sport. The ones who are most savages and killers are the ones that are going to last the longest.
It's a brutal sport.
It's a brutal sport. But all seriousness is in this sport is we can both get injury. One punch can change everything.
100%.
You know, and once you keep that in the back of your mind, you got to understand that I still got to kill you. I remember Deontay said a while ago, I want to put three people in a body bag, and it was kind of vulgar and people didn't like it. But honestly, that is the right mentality you have to do the sport. Yeah. I want to go in there, I want to kill you. I want to put you out for 10, 15 seconds and the referee can wake you up with smelling salts. But the average person is not going
to
get that.
Yeah, the average person on the street won't understand the mindset you have to fight in the ring.
Yeah, you know, and the funny part about it, the people that I gravitate to the most, you know, unfortunately, growing up was the drug dealers or the gangsters or even people that came out of the military. I had a lot of good friends that were older than me that had PTSD that were like borderline schizophrenia, bipolar, but I understand them. They would say things to me and you should swing on people. But it was more like I was calm and I learned how to read people because of that.
What happened? What's going on with this song? Because that's, I guess, part of the reason why we're not here right now, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff was about you saying that Fabio put a song out or there was a song, almost a diss track, if you like. Where?
So let's be all honest. I don't pump fake. So I seen Dylan White last night. We shook hands. I seen Fabio. Shook hands real quick and kept it moving. Like, there was no, like, I didn't really have the amp or really wasn't really amped about nothing. I'm like, I'm just waiting for paperwork to get signed. But while you was on stage with Fabio, you heard the song as well. And I heard the song, but then, you know, my cousin Mike, he pointed out, like, bro, like, you really hear the lyrics on it? Like, Big Baby Killer, Break Joe's and blah, blah. I was like, what? Like, all right, cool. Had that same energy though, but like I said, maybe it's a culture difference, but you need to understand something. When you put out a diss track like that, where I come from, it's a death threat. So for me, the switch in my head goes off and I'm like, oh, you put a hit on my life? I bet, my turn now. And when I press you about it, you don't have that same energy. So my thing is, you're fake. Even if he didn't do it, he should be like, yeah, I did it, and what, we gonna fight about it. And I'm saying, so it's all up. You say psychology sitting here, but I already know I'm on the psychology already because he ready to bust a tear on that stage. Mm. You know what I mean? But I know what I heard. He played it back for me, and it is what it is.
Daniel Dubois, you kind of liked. It was smiling. Ruiz, you know, there's a long-term friendship with Ruiz. Correct, you've known him for a while. Fabio?
No love. You know, I expense. Give me somebody I don't like. And at first, Fabio wasn't even on my radar. Like, nowhere near. I don't think he's on anybody's radar, really. You know, like I said, out of Ipswich in London, nobody knew who the hell Fabio is. Mm. You know what I mean? So I told Frank, I'm doing you a favor. It's gonna cost you to pay to play. You want me to come over here? You know, I have one or two other opportunities on the table right now. But you want me to come over here, put my ass on the line to help build your fighter? I'm gonna knock him out regardless, but you gotta pay. That's how it is.
It's a must-win fight for you.
Yeah, must-win. Must-win. 100%.
Is it now just big fights, fun fights, or do you still think world championship?
100% world championship.
World championship, okay.
Because if you lose that hunger and you're doing fights to fights, then what's the point? You know, I'm still young in the heavyweight division, and I want to be world champion.
Can I lay out your next three fights? I know you wouldn't do this. You won't overlook fights.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you had your choice, it would be Wardley, AJ Usyk.
100%. I like that.
Yeah.
was all still realistic, you know, how bad those guys want it. But I learned about boxing, a lot of fighters say shit, but don't mean it, bro. They say a lot of stuff. And I get it too, because when you're that, when those guys are at the higher points right now, it's like they can dip and dive and, you know, make easier checks, you know. So when I'm there, who knows? You might take a hard fight, easy fight, hard fight. You know, you never know when you get to that position. But I don't got that luxury, so.
Indeed. If Fabio was here, what would you say to him?
I wouldn't say nothing to him, because I don't want to aggravate myself. He's talking shit to try to sell a fight. He's talking to trying to big himself up. I'm just going to swing on him. Fight won't even happen. You know, British Board of Boxing, they have no leniency with certain things. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll go back home. Because you're not going to play with my name. You're not going to play in my face. I'm going to duff you.
Oh, I'm happy that didn't happen, because I think I speak for all British fight fans that can't wait to see you here June 7th.
June 7th, baby.
30,000, live on DAZN.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go, Joel.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
What a character. He is fun. I'm curious to see how this fight plays out. You can only talk so many times and not win that big one, right? So
yes,
there's a lot of talking here, but he explained the whole disc. Okay, now I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
The question is, does Fabio know about the song?
He knows now.
Yeah, he knows now.
I think Fabio was shocked by it. Like, I was right there at the front row of that presser, and I could see Fabio was like, what are you talking about? Like, I genuinely have no idea what you're talking about. And I think Fabio thought, okay, is Jarrell just trying to sell this? Or is this real? Then when Jarrell kind of pushed his face, I think I could saw the switch turn in Fabio as well. And look, say what you want about the size of Jarrell, Fabio's a fighter. And all Fabio knows how to do is fight. That's what he wants to do. So I think that kind of turned the switch. So this has gone from, you know, quite a friendly build-up to already a bit of animosity, which I don't mind. I don't mind, especially when it's genuine. And I feel like this is genuine. By the way, I actually looked quite good in that top. No, considering that I was standing next to someone that was 27 stone or whatever, I looked quite good.
No, I thought you looked great. The biceps were bulging.
Hey, right?
I know. Jeez. I mean, it was like from that angle. I don't know if you told them to shoot it that way, but stick with that angle.
I'm asking for the clip. That has to go on my Instagram. Yeah, I'm clipping that up straight away.
It was good stuff. Well done to the team. Ade, I say all the big fights coming to the UK. Well, we get a big one this weekend, very close to us here, just a couple hours down the road in beautiful Atlantic City, Boardwalk Hall. Yes, we finally get to see the return of Jaron Boots Ennis, his third fight under the Matchroom umbrella. The first two were in Philly. This time, it's the IBF, WBA, and ring titles on the line. Unification bout against the pride of Lithuania, Eimantas Stanionis, who I have to say, maybe not as big of a name, maybe doesn't have the same type of experience, certainly not as many fights. I think he's a live dog, Ade. I think this young man is ready to shock the world. I think Boots' last two performances weren't anything to write home about. He got hit a few times. I think Stanionis is going in there not just to be the opponent, but I think he is going in there to shock everyone, and I think he is a live dog. Does he ultimately win? Who the hell knows? And I do believe that Boots has heard the criticism, and maybe this is his last time at 47. Who knows? He did talk about moving up after his last fight. Stanionis, to me, is a very talented young fighter who is there to shock the world, and I would not sleep on him.
100%. This is a live, and it should be a live dog. I mean, they shouldn't make unifications when, you know, someone is a huge favorite, and they certainly shouldn't put a ring title on it as well if it wasn't a live dog. Stanionis is unbeaten, good amateur, very good amateur. In fact, he's coming off a good win himself, and he'll look at the last two performances from Jaron Ennis and think, one second, maybe you're not that superstar that everyone thinks you are. Whereas if I'm Boots Ennis, I look at my last two performances and think, okay, we need to start reminding people why there was so much hype, why there was a lot of people saying I could even beat Terence Crawford. We need to kind of get back to that hype. So I'm expecting a lights out performance from Boots Ennis, but I think he's going to have to come through some really tough times in this fight. Again, I think that should happen. Unification's undisputed. No one should run over no one when it's number one versus number two. But I think we might have something special on Saturday.
Do you think this is the last time we see Boots at 147?
The only reason I don't think it is because if Boots wants to try and become undisputed, the problem Boots has is when he fights for the IBF, he has this rehydration cap, right? So there's a certain amount of weight he can't go above. Once it's unifications and undisputed, that stops. So I do think this weekend might favor Boots, where he doesn't have to stick to the rehydration rules, I think, of the IBF, but he certainly doesn't have to if he unifies. So I think he might look at Brian Norman, and I think he might look at the other champion and think, okay, Mario Barrios, and think, okay, there's a chance I can just quickly get all these belts very quickly and then go for Virgil Ortiz at 154 pounds. If he can't agree fights with those guys, then I think this is the last time we see him at 147.
It's not quite Shakur levels, but I do feel like there's a certain level. You know, we talked about it with Ben Whitaker as well. Like, I feel like he needs to remind people who he is. There was so much hype surrounding him when he was fighting for PBC on Showtime. He was one of those names. And look, he's still undefeated, 29 KOs, 33 wins. It's all very impressive. But I feel like he needs that performance once again, especially with Matchroom now, his new promotional company, to remind people that he's the guy.
Yeah, and another thing for him, and it's not his fault this, but the 147 division is the worst it's been for a decade. Like, there are no star names. There was a time when it was 147 or the heavyweights. That's how good 147 was, right? Yep. It was almost becoming the marquee division of boxing. All of a sudden, it's become flat. So he's beating guys that could be good, but because they're not star names, he's not getting really any respect or any credit for it. So it lacks star power. So I think the quicker for him to get out of this division and jump to 154 and start fighting names and then getting the recognition, it'll be better for his career, because right now he's stacking wins, but people are going to go down that resume and say, okay, but he's no one, he's no one, he's no one. So I feel like he'll get respect if he beats Stanionis on Saturday, and then it starts to kind of pile on the names from there on, I think.
Well, speaking of the 154-pound weight class, we did see the return of Tim Zhu just a few days ago. Back on track, two somewhat shocking losses in their own right. Yeah. He gets a win over Joey Spencer, and it seems as though we're on a collision course now with Keith Thurman, a fight that was supposed to happen just a few months back. That was supposed to be the big return fight for Thurman. It did not happen. Zhu fights Fundora. We all know how that story played out. A total nightmare for the Australian. After the win, Keith Thurman went on social media and had this to say.
Congratulations, Tim Zhu. I see you got through with that appetizer. I got through with mine. I got him out in three. You got him out in four. I don't know about you, boy, but I'm still hungry. Send the contract. I'll sign it by tonight. I promise you, I'll come to Australia and give you a good fight. Let's go.
I'm all in. I'd love to see it. How about you?
Yeah. I'm in. And look, back to what you said about Tim Zhu. So important.
Yeah.
I mean, that fight against Fundora, close, but it was a tough fight. It's the one against Bakram where he got absolutely just ran over. So you could understand why there was a bit of hesitation in the lead up to his fight over the weekend. But he looked really good against Joey Spencer, who came to fight. But Tim Zhu just broke him down. As for this one, I like it. I really wanted to see Keith have one more before he took on an elite 154-pounder, and Tim Zhu is an elite 154-pounder. But I guess at this stage of his career and this age, I think Keith's like, you know what, let's just do this. And I think the most important part was when Keith said he'll go to Australia. And I think that just opens up the door even wider. If he's willing to go to Australia and fight him in his backyard, then this fight can happen very, very soon. Tim Zhu took no punishment. Keith took no punishment. These guys can literally go straight away again. So I'm expecting this fight to happen maybe in the summer sometime, so that quick. But it's a good fight. It's a good fight for Australia. Keith's a name. Tim needs a name on that resume. He needs a big fight to kind of propel him back into the spotlight for American fans. And you get it with Keith Thurman.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Tim Zhu. Fought three times in the span of 12 months, and two of those were some bad losses. But you know, he got right back on there. The loss to Bikram was like in October, I think it was. And what are we?
Yeah.
End of early April is when he fought. So some guys would take some extended period of time off. He is not doing that. Speaking of someone who were wondering when they're going to be coming back, that's Anthony Joshua. We did see an incredible video of him running through the streets of, I do believe, Nigeria.
That is Lagos, Nigeria, my man. I even know where that is.
You know exactly where that is?
I know exactly where that is.
Where is it? Tell us.
I'm lying. I don't know where it is. Why'd you ask me that question?
I mean, I don't know. You were so freaking confident. I love everyone doing their own little bit to him. Like this guy right here with the shadow boxing. This is great stuff. How does this make you feel as a proud Nigerian and an AJ super fan?
I love it. I honestly love it. I've always wanted AJ to go back to Nigeria more. I'm desperate for AJ to fight in Nigeria. I think AJ just feels a bit more at peace in Nigeria. He does get bothered, obviously, because he's famous. Everyone knows who he is, but it's more love. Like, no one's asking for photographs in that thing. No one's asking. Everyone just, it's a kind of a fist pump and then let him be. So I think he's almost a bit more left alone in Nigeria, which I think he prefers. And I feel like he's getting the hunger back. I feel like he, you know, all of a sudden the juices are starting to flow. And I think he wants to fight. AJ is a fighter. That's all he does. Yes, he's a businessman, but ultimately his business works when he fights. And I feel like that's important for AJ. So look, I feel like they must have had conversations with Tyson Fury's people. Tyson Fury's gone radio silence. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. And AJ's like, okay, but I still want to fight. So I'm expecting some AJ news very soon. I mean, I watched so many more clips of him in Nigeria. He seems to be posting every second and he's in the gym. He's hitting the bag. He's skipping. He's got a look in his eyes to someone that wants to come back and give this one more go.
Okay, so your prediction. Who's he fighting?
Wilder.
Wow. Wait, so does he watch what happens on the 27th of June?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not getting a fight for a while then.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, well, it depends how quick Wilder gets rid of his opponent. But I feel like, it's actually, we're probably looking.
We're still almost 3 months away from that fight.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I was going to say Joseph Parker, but I just don't think AJ does that fight. Yeah, and maybe Parker deserves that, right? If Parker's not going to get a world title shot, the next best thing is a big stadium fight with AJ. But I just don't see AJ running into Parker. I just don't see it happening. A Wilder fight is what, you know, I remember interviewing AJ after the Wilder defeat and asking him, like, would you still fight Wilder? And I expected AJ to say no. And he said, yeah, why not? So I feel like AJ's still invested in that fight because they've been circling each other for nearly a decade. So I don't think AJ looks at the defeats that Wilder's had like the way we do. Mm. If Wilder's coming back, AJ will think, yeah, let's do it. Let's get this on.
I would love to get some sort of answer as to where he goes from here. We last saw him in September, perhaps when we get the announcement that Daniel Dubois is in fact fighting Usyk, which seems inevitable at this point, perhaps some more dominoes fall, and that does leave Joseph Parker open. I do wonder if I'm guiding AJ at this point. Does a fight against Parker make sense? Like the Wilder fight is really the one that makes the most sense. They both need wins, and let's be honest, Wilder probably vulnerable right now. AJ's been, you know, more active and was on a great run before he met Daniel Dubois, but then, you know, who knows what happens? Like, he can't just sit and wait. What if he waits for June 27th and Wilder fights and loses? I mean, what a disaster that would be. And so what do you do? What do you do if you're him? Do you go all the way to the back and just get a fight that gets your confidence back? I don't know. There's no right answer. I mean, there is a right answer.
I'd hate him to do that. I mean, he could do that. I'd hate him to do that. I mean, there are other opponents out there. There's Dillian White, who was supposed to fight Joe Joyce. I remember AJ and Dillian White were supposed to fight 18 months ago. Obviously, Dillian White had the issue with a performance-enhancing drug, so that fight didn't happen. There is the winner of Bokole Ajagba, which isn't too far away. Again, we mentioned Joseph Parker. There's Cabayel, who's desperate for a big fight, who's out there. There are fights, but it's what makes sense. And at this sort of junction in AJ's career, it has to be either a world title or it has to be a big name. Cabayel isn't really a big name and it's not a world title, so he gets removed. So you almost really left with Wilder, Dillian White, Parker. It will be one of those three. Wilder, Dillian White, Parker.
Feels like White is probably the one that makes most sense.
I think so.
If you're trying to build yourself back up, Wilder, unavailable. Parker, mess of a situation as well. I'd love it for Parker, by the way. I would love it for Parker.
Same.
It's a big-time fight. It's a high-profile fight. It's a winnable fight for him. But I just, you know, AJ has that thing. You know it very well. He's a star. He's a superstar. When he fights, the world watches and pays attention. And he still has it despite the loss to Dubois. He makes you believe. And if you look like that, if you talk like that, if you fight like he does, you'll always believe. I mean, him running on the chain is the first thing I thought of. It was the first thing I thought of on the streets of Nigeria, connecting with the people. It was like a scene out of Rocky, for goodness sake.
It was
beautiful.
Fantastic. God
bless
please,
you.
Please, AJ, one more run, please.
At a time now for everyone's favorite segment of the week, it is time for our parting shot. And Ade, on this particular parting shot, we're going...
Sponsored?
No, absolutely. You know, I don't even do it because I'm embarrassed at this point. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Yeah. We go this past weekend to a GBM card way at the beginning of the card at the Bethnal Green in London, England. You know who this young man is? This is Gradus Kraus and his young daughter coming out to Thriller.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Look at
that
this.
That is wonderful.
Is this one of the great walkouts of all time?
I'm not joking. That is absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
And she's still doing it. She doesn't know he stopped.
Yes.
She doesn't know he stopped. That is amazing.
Look at that.
Was this at York Hall, Bethnal Green? Wow, it was. Yes, York Hall.
And guess what? He wins via first round knockout. He knocks out Tony Omoaku, the young man in front of his daughter, in the curtain jerker. Yeah. You walk out like that with your daughter, you got to put on a show like this. Look at this guy.
Yeah, one second. Can we see that? Can we see that ending again?
5-0.
Can we see the ending again?
What was wrong with it?
I didn't see most of those punches land. Can we see them land?
He was chucking and jiving.
I don't know.
Come on, shout out to Gratis.
I didn't see.
Come on, shout out to the young man. He's walking out with his daughter. 5-0 now.
That's incredible. No, that's incredible. The walkout's incredible. I love that. I love a good walkout. Fighters that just walk to the ring, I'm like, come on, entertain us, please. This is an entertainment sport. Can you put a bit of effort into it?
It drives me nuts when promoters try to strip them away of the walkouts. Like, have fun. This is your chance to sell yourself. When Ben Whitaker came out last June, I think it was, to the Drake song, you know, with the orchestra and all that. It was amazing.
I was there. Selhurst Park. I was there.
It was pouring rain. Yeah, yeah. Now, the problem is when the performance doesn't really stack up, it falls a little flat. But when you have something like this, like if you invest in the walkout, you got to have a big time performance, right?
I'm scared about.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so scared for Ben. I've got a little soft spot for Ben, and I'm a bit nervous that does he stop all of the things that made him who he is, like made him get this following, made him become this superstar, right? Made him get commercials with Adidas. Does he stop all that and sort of go back to just being a kind of boring, orthodox boxer? I hope not. I actually want to see Ben the Showman Whitaker. That's the guy I want to see.
Yeah.
And I hope that Andy Lee can kind of marry the two, right? Marry the boxer, because he's clearly a good boxer, right? Olympic silver medalist, and the showman. Got to marry the two, and I think there's a superstar there.
Yeah. If he strips that away, it would suggest that the confidence is a little shot, right? It would suggest that he's not being himself. So let's see. You'll be able to talk about that next week. I do want to remind you, Ade, that you're flying solo next week.
What?
So, you know, two hands on the steering wheel.
One second.
And
you
it's
know when
the
you say
Ade
solo,
show. Yeah.
Do I still get your team or is it just...
No. You're doing this all on your own. They're all taking off. You do it all on your own. What are you going to do? A Zoom show or something? What are you doing? What's the plan?
No, I'm going to have a show in my house.
Instagram
in my studio
live?
Don't worry. Everyone watching, don't worry. You know, if you guys are fan of me, you know that we'll get this together. We're going to have it all set up.
The whole team will be here. The whole team will be here. Don't worry.
Oh.
They got you. By the way, I mean, let's break the fourth wall. Ade is horrendous at communication. Like, has anyone told you, my heart goes out to your loved ones. This has all been documented in our WhatsApp group. You don't look at anything. You don't read anything.
Wait.
All this has been documented.
Wait, one second. I've got my phone right here.
Yeah,
Are you trying to say it's in there right
weeks
now?
Ago.
The
no,
whole team?
Weeks ago. You're going to have to scroll quite a bit of time. I mean, you're going to have to go like... 2-3 weeks back. You won't find it right now. Weeks ago, this has been discussed. Weeks.
You know what? My loved ones are watching this right now.
Yeah.
And they're all agreeing with you.
You're awful. You're awful. What's wrong with you?
It's bad. I don't know, man.
We had a guest booked for today, and you're like, I didn't even know we had a guest. I mean, like, what? What's going on? Are you not reading things?
Now you've really broken the fourth wall. Don't listen to people.
I mean, it's literally right there. Look at that. You see the teams behind you. Best show coming next week. An Ade only show. Okay, thanks, guys.
There you go.
All right, well,
so wait, one second.
I won't be booking you any guests. I'm not doing anything.
I was just about to ask that. Can you please, wherever you're going, book me a couple of guests?
No, I'm done.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to get Ben Whitaker next week.
Hell yeah. I would love that.
I'll be watching. I'm going to get Ben Whitaker next week. Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, you heard it here first. Ben Whitaker joining us next week on the Ade show.
Maybe.
I won't be here, but I'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about it all. For now.
What are you doing? Where are you going?
It's Passover.
Okay, okay. I enjoy. You deserve a break as well. You work far too hard.
I appreciate that. We're going to the motherland, Montreal, that is. So I'll see you from there. And we don't work on Passover around these parts. Happy Easter, by the way, to everyone out there who will be celebrating.
Does anyone ever call the motherland Canada?
No, just me.
Like, the motherland is Africa. Like, never
God bless Canada and Africa and all the good people around the world. Shout out to you, Ade. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Boots Ennis, can't wait. Staniotis, will he pull off the upset? Stay tuned this weekend, only on DAZN. Can't wait to find out. And we'll talk about it, or at least Ade will, next week right here on the program. For now, though, thank you very much to Liam Cameron. Thanks to all of you. Thank you, Ade. Much love, my friend. Enjoy the fights.
Thank you, brother.